now, especially in 2025, personal branding and like being a human is paramount. That's like winning over everything.
This podcast is sponsored by AI Copywriter in a Box. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, and you can use the AI Copywriter for up to 4 different clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found The Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I want to help you be the obvious choice, the obvious person to book, hire, and bring into their team. So we are doing this whole visibility series because you can't get hired if nobody sees you. And if you are struggling to share your story or you don't know how to stand out in the sea of samesies where every virtual assistant looks the same, I have a special guest today that is going to help you stand out, find your voice without feeling fake or forced or like everybody else. But first, let's talk about this visibility series. I have brought on in the last 3 episodes, 3 very high-level business coaches. I've had Rob Marsh talking about his authority framework, Lorianne Marabito talking about using speaking to leverage your expertise and get booked, and then Beth Nydick talking about how to turn those podcast guesting opportunities into booked and paying clients. The whole goal is getting seen. You have years of experience, but if you're not visible, you're going to get passed over. If you're not looking like the specialist and the go-to person, you're going to get passed over. That's also in that weird place. If you don't feel like people are willing to pay your rates, they're opting for lower skilled labor, it's because you're not presenting as an authority, as an expert. And so this is your opportunity with this series to claim your edge, to share your story, and show clients why you are the best choice. Visibility leads to authority. It leads to better fit clients, referrals, and just more confidence in what you're charging. And especially if you're somebody who's just relying on referrals from inside our digital marketers workgroup or your current clients, you need to get to that spot where the client leads are coming to you. We don't want to be reactive. Visibility will give you more control. It will help you fill your pipeline with those aligned clients. By the way, go back if you are in the work group and watch the sales training we just did with Sally Arias about the sales pipeline training, and it'll click for you. Visibility done right does mean less hustle. It doesn't mean you have to be on social media. That's not at all what we're talking about right now, but we're talking about showing up online and positioning yourself so you can more or less scale your reputation. Being great at marketing, if you're behind the scenes, means nothing if nobody knows you exist. So today, Meg Yelaney, a business coach, is going to talk about how to find your voice, how to stand out without feeling forced or fake. We're going to learn how to share your story and show your value so that you attract those better fit, higher paying clients. She's going to break down her 5-part storytelling framework for your business origin story so that you get the kind of story that gets people to take action and not just say, good for you. You're so inspiring. We're going to talk about how to share your wins without sounding braggy and what part of your lived experience really is your edge. So listen to this episode for the difference of storytelling that inspires versus storytelling that converts. And then be sure to grab Meg's business story blueprint. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. This is how you attract dream clients with your story. This is going to help you really flesh it out. All right, let's jump into the interview with Meg Yelaney.
Hey, Meg, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here helping our unicorns stand out and become the only option out there in the sea of service providers. So tell everyone hello and a little bit about you, especially if they haven't met you before.
Hi, I love that. What a perfect fit. I guess.
Just the name of your podcast. I'm like, oh, I feel home here. This is amazing. Hi, my name is Maggie Laney. I got started in the online space many moons ago. I feel like I'm a grandma in this industry. I got started in 2012 in network marketing, built that up to multiple six figures, and then just realized I felt very limited by what I could do with network marketing. Wonderful in so many ways. I learned so much about business at basically no cost. So it was very, very great in so many ways. But once I felt that restriction, I started to look outside of it. I started a health coaching company. And I thought, oh, I was in a health coaching network marketing company. Let's just do health coaching. That makes the most sense. But when I actually was in it, I hated it. I realized, oh, I mean, I love health and it's always been a value of mine, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't what I was meant to be coaching people on. And after about 6 months, I was like, this isn't why I had the success I did. It was the business part. It was the messaging. It was the people and the strategy and just relationship building was all of that stuff. I went to school for marketing and I am an actor in my past life. So, and I still do it. So I just felt like that's what I loved about it. That's what I was missing. And so quickly pivoted to business coaching shortly after and have been doing it in one way, shape or form since 2017. I've had a lot of pivots, a lot of remodels, as we all do. But I primarily now help online coaches and service providers create what I call their distinctive edge. So how do you stand out amongst everyone else out there? And not only just like your personality and your story, but also what's your process and how is your process that missing link that they've been looking for that they haven't tried in the way that you provide. And so I love it. It's really what I've been honing in on the last like year and a half, especially postpartum. I had twin boys last year, threw me for a loop. And I was like, what am I doing with my life and business? And figured out this is what I'm doing with it. And I've been doing it the whole time. I just wasn't claiming it as boldly as I am now. So yeah, that's kind of the long and the short of it.
Well, I love that because you have a fun story about you kind of blowing up in your business for standing out and being unique. But this is so meta because this is what we're doing as unicorn marketers with our clients too, like trying to pull that special sauce out of them and shine the light on the right parts. And this is a basis of marketing, right?
Yeah.
This is what we need in place to be able to help our clients sell better. So it's always something we can apply to us and our clients as well. And I think especially hard as a service provider, because we're used to being behind the scenes. And then it's that moment where we have to talk about ourselves and articulate our value and show while we're different. And then add in this whole new contingency of, I guess it's not new. I don't know why I said that so dramatically, but overseas VAs who we feel like we're competing with. And so we really have to pull ourselves out and be able to explain why someone would be so lucky to have us on their team. So I want to take things back to the beginning, just for somebody who doesn't know you, about how you stumbled upon this messaging and what made you unique. Because I think it was such a fun story, but take it away there.
Yeah, totally. No. So I love sharing this story. And it's one of those things too, even when you have shared it a million times, you're like, people need to hear this. And it's still so fun. And so just a reminder, guys, share your story, share it over and over and over again. It's good to be redundant. I have a lot of people get so in their heads about that. Like, I shared it once. I'm like, great, go share it again and again and again. It's so important. So when I branched out into my own health coaching company, I was very much a good rule follower. I was like that in school. I'm a little type A in that way. I was like, you give me the plan, I will follow it. So what did I do? I looked at what the other successful health coaches were doing, and they were, you know, posting their bodies online, obviously, and sharing like this booty pose where they twisted their bodies. Anyone who's back in the day will know what I'm talking about, where they're twisting their bodies like in a very impossible way. Like, it's not normal or natural to twist your body in that way. And it's probably not good for it.
No.
And honestly. And so I literally had friends. I was in a mastermind kind of group program, and mostly were health coaches. And they would always make fun of me because I would make fun of me. Like, I would start it as a defense mechanism because I felt so insecure about doing these poses. And I was like, don't know how to do this, guys. I'm so silly. Can you help me? And they would literally try to place me and help me and then get shots for me. And then I would use those pictures to sell my health coaching of my waist looking smaller because I twisted it, and then my butt looking bigger because I twisted it. And that apparently is what makes me a good coach, to help people with their health and their mindset.
Anyway, did that, worked a little, but mostly what actually got my business off the ground was my networking skills from network marketing and my relationship building skills. And then I just hit a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. If this is what it means for me to be successful, I don't want to do it. I'll go get a job. Like, I don't want to do this. And I think it was, I know what was. It was one day I was at one of my best friend Brian's house. And in the video, I have it still, and I post it all the time. His cat's jumping in the video. It's hysterical. I'm taking a video of myself doing this post. And I was taught, and this is still actually a good tip for people, to take a screenshot from a video of like, what are all the good shots? And I still do that to this day. And so I would take a video and then I would screenshot the best position. And I'm watching this video back and he's watching me make this video, like holding back laughter, like, what is happening right now? What are you doing? I'm like, oh, this hurts. This hurts. This is crazy. And I just go, this is so ridiculous. I'm going to post this video and make fun of what we're doing. Like, why is this the way I should get clients? And it went viral for my page and I signed clients from this video, but it was kind of my like, you're done. You're done in this industry. Like, I still did it for a little bit after that, but that started the Pretty Awkward brand, which pretty much was just like, be yourself, like stop trying to hide. I have this quirky, awkward, nerdy side of me. And I was hiding that to look a certain way and present a certain way, which made me look and sound like everyone else. And the second I shared who I was, that's when people started coming in. And my brand still is that. I am going through a rebrand, but I'll still always have this energy and this vibe because it's just who I am. And like, let's really put the quirks out there in a way that makes people feel safe, seen, heard, and go, that's me too. That's my person. And so that's kind of how it was all born. And it just like blew up from there.
So how can we tap into that without, okay, let me backtrack.
Yeah.
Other people start copying you? Like, did that become the next thing that everybody started? Because like, that would be the first meta question is like, somebody else invents a new way to do it. And then everyone starts copying them. And then like, you're no longer like interesting anymore.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? It's a great question and something that I've thought about. But when I look back, not really. And I think the reason is it was a very vulnerable thing and nerve-wracking. And especially if you've been made, you know, to feel bad about being who you truly are, it's scary to put yourself out there. And I think I had that like where I wasn't ever in that position. So I was lucky in that way. And so I felt a little bit more confident. So I didn't see people doing it like that. That being said, in the last few years, like just authenticity in general is the thing, which I'm glad it's the thing, you know, and like true authenticity. I think it's a good thing that it's now like a trend that hopefully lasts forever. But I didn't see it as much as like I would have expected. I did see people start to share a little bit more of like their story and their faults, I would say. But I still saw so many of those booty pictures. Like that's like just what people kept doing.
And we still do. They still do.
And you know, it's funny. I have a couple of friends who, you know, still did that, but it's so them. Like they are like that. They love doing that. Like that's who they are. And so it worked for them because it was very authentic. For me, I'm like, this is the most like fake thing I've ever done in my life. Like I would never do this. You know, it's just not who I am. So it felt icky. Like it felt like people who force themselves to dance on reels when they're like, I hate this. And I can't believe I'm doing this to bring in people. You don't have to do it.
Like, and it comes across when it feels forced and inauthentic. Yes. The audience can tell, don't you think?
They can, for sure. And even like, I think when Reels first came out, that's when people were doing a lot of the dance stuff. Like that was like one of the first things because it was from TikTok. And so I was like, oh, I got to do it. And again, I was like, oh my God, I'm not a dancer. That was like my Achilles heel in performing. Like I was a singer actress, not a dancer. And I lost a lot of roles for that.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was bringing all that up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like PTSD from my like audition days. And I did like one or two. And then I'm like, no, you're going to make fun of this as well. And I did. And again, that did really well for me because I would like make fun of myself attempting these things, you know? So all that to be said, it didn't get as much copying because I think it was such a vulnerable thing.
Yeah. And that's your humor too, right? Yeah. So it's like authentic to you to turn around and make fun of the the dancing in a way, which, by the way, I also don't dance. So I am glad that, and I'm kind of over the lip syncing. Like, I played around with it and it was fun. And I have a video production background. So, like, I can see, you know, I can see the cuts and the shots, but I'm also, like, super lazy. So, like, some of that stuff, I'm like, oh, I see a fun mental movie.
Yeah.
Never actually going to do that. So let's do this instead. Okay. For sure. So how can we find this about us and put this type of messaging to work for us? And again, knowing my audience is the tends to be, not everybody, but the more introverted service provider, or a lot of us, it's not even just an introvert extrovert thing. We just have a fear about marketing ourselves in general, right? And so I feel like if we could have strong messaging and stand in who we are, I think that would give us a lot of the confidence to, like, not be so scared of marketing.
100%. And I think too, it's going to actually help your audience, because now, especially in 2025, personal branding and, like, being a human is paramount. That's, like, winning over everything. And I'm seeing it over and over again with my clients when they're leaning into all the educational content. It's fine. And there's a place and a time for it. But when they're only doing that, no one's coming in. When they're sharing their story, when they're shifting perspectives, when they're sharing their true beliefs and what they stand for and stand against in the industry, that's what's bringing people in. Especially the story. I actually have a client who's a web designer. So I think it'll go really well with your people. And she has a wild story. She actually was on my team a few years ago. So it's kind of been cool full circle to have her now as a client. Love her. And she is an amazing web designer. She was never really sharing her story. She got paralyzed, I think it was in 2011, from, like, a really horrible accident where she was, I don't want to mess up the exact story, but she was adventurous in everything she did. And she fell when she was, I forgot if it was whitewater rafting. I think it was something like that. But she ended up getting paralyzed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And in a wheelchair. And then she went on to compete in the Paralympics. She went on to build a house with her brother. She went on to, like, find her new purpose in life, and which was design. And it's just, she's like, I'm not even doing it justice, but she has an incredible story. And I'm like, not that someone's going to just pick you for that from another web designer, but boy, are you going to stand out because of your story from someone else, you know what I mean? Who's not sharing any parts of them, you know what I mean? And so that's just, like, one example of everyone has a story, and you don't have to have, I don't have a story like that, you know? You don't have to have a rags to riches story, or a lot of health coaches that I work with, like, they might not have a weight loss story at all, or very little bit, and you don't need to. It doesn't have to be gigantic. It has to just be real. And in fact, like, the more relatable ones are probably the ones that your audience can relate to and see themselves in even more. So that's the first place I would start, which I think is a little bit safer for service providers who are maybe a little bit more introverted, is sharing what I call your business origin story. I mean, a lot of people call it that, a business origin story, right? Is like, what actually got you started here? Like, what inspired you to become a freelancer? What inspired you to become a service provider? And have you actually shared that journey? And I have, like, a little template or framework I can walk you through if that helps. And what I've just seen most people do with stories that gets them that response of, you're so inspiring, but not actually taking action. Versus what actually gets them to take action. So I can kind of share that difference if that's helpful.
Yeah, because we don't want just someone saying in the comments, good for you.
Yes.
Rah, rah, good for you.
Yes.
And I mean, it's not like that cut and dry, but, like, that's the essence. They're like, okay, so now what, right?
Yes.
And we want to have revenue at the other side of that. So yeah, I would love to hear your messaging framework there when it comes to figuring out, like, how do I share that? And
yeah,
I think a lot of people are, like, kind of forget that this is so important. It sets the stage with your client work, like, why you do what you do. I think there's so much baked in there about how you can be good at things, or how your past life translates into where you are now. I do see the flip. I go through a lot of services guides. I audit these for my clients and my students. I see a lot of websites, and so many times I just get a linear, like, I did this, and then I got my journalism degree, and then I got my MBA, and I moved to Germany. And it's like, kind of like, like, get out of the linear progression or the old CV resume area.
For
and
sure.
I think that if just having a good origin story, you could use it teaching, guest podcasting, even on a discovery call, right? Even in a
Yep.
Call show up sequence is what I was also trying to say. So, okay, yeah. Tell us how to start with this.
Yeah. I love that you said that. It's instead of like a timeline, which is just listing a bunch of facts, you know, like when you think about stories or movies or books, like they're not just listing facts. No one would be like excited about it, right?
Yeah. The other mistake I see, Meg, is I, like all of the sentences start like that. And it's very much like showboaty. Look at me. And that kind of elicits that comment like, well, good for you.
Yeah.
What does that mean for me?
Exactly. And I think a common thread is what is like the emotion that you were feeling that your audience can relate to, because they might not have gone through the exact same thing, but they're going to feel that same emotion, you know, from the event, right? Whatever it is. So even this client, like you might not be paralyzed or have gone through the Paralympics, building this house, like this insane life change, but you might have had a wild life change. You might have had some ripped out from under you and your just whole being has changed. You know what I mean? Like, I know you and I both have had those experiences in the last few years. So I can relate to that from that angle, if that makes sense. So that's the kind of commonality, you know what I mean? Like speaking from that angle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So when told the right way, it switches from like inspiration to activating. And I think what most people do is they do before what happened in the middle, the transformation, and then after. And then that's where they end. And that's what gets them that inspiration. But here's like a five little steps that I'll quickly walk everyone through. So the first is your catalyst moment. What was that moment that really made you go, I got to make a change. Something's got to shift, whether it was an opportunity or it was just a, I can't keep going like this. And if you're not your ideal client in the sense, like a lot of service providers or freelancers didn't necessarily go through what their clients are going to go through. So just think like, what made you want to start this business? Like, what was that catalyst moment for you, right? Write that down. The biggest thing with this part, this is where like when you execute it, when you put it on Instagram and an email and a podcast in a, like you said, a discovery call, you want to try to think more in a hook way, like a line that's going to hook them in. But for the first draft, just write down what are some of those moments. Now, if it's a culmination of moments, and it was like, it wasn't one, it was like a lot of things like gurgling up, like building together, just write those down. What's that catalyst moment? Next, what's the transformation? So you had this catalyst moment, it sparked you to do this thing. You had some kind of result. You had some kind of change. What was that for you? So again, I work with a lot of health coaches, all different types, but health coaching is probably like, I'd say 30% of the people that I work with. Okay. And a lot of them had a health before and after, right? So something transformed for them and they were inspired to then go help other people. So what was your transformation? This is the one that people miss, and it's so important, is what was the impact of that transformation? So what made you go, oh my gosh, there's something deeper here. I didn't just lose weight. I didn't just get a little taste of what it could be like to be at home working with my kids, or some other reasons that, you know, people will start their businesses. Like, what was that impact on other people in your life, on yourself? And then from that impact, how did that turn into your mission that you have now? And I think this is where too, we kind of don't even think about that sometimes. We just go into business, you know? But really taking a step back and going like, what's that bigger mission? What's that bigger vision? And what at the end of the day, like if you can lay your head on the pillow and go, I helped so-and-so do this, I feel like I completed my mission today, right? So how did that impact become your mission? And then the last part is, what is your edge? So how do you do it even slightly differently than someone else they could hire? Like you said, across seas, cheaper, right? Why is it so worth it? Because you have this lived experience, or you have this certain way of doing things because of just your expertise or all the clients you worked with or these courses you took or this training you have, and adding that, like, what's your edge? So it goes a catalyst moment, transformation, impact, mission, and then edge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. I think the edge is such the struggle point for a lot of people to see, what is it about me and why? Why do you think that is? Why is it like that, like, factor about themselves?
You know what I've noticed when I've been like really working on this with people? I actually had a discovery call the other day with someone who joined my program. She's been a nurse and in healthcare for over 20 years, and she's a health coach, and she's like just starting to talk about that. I'm like, wait, what? You have 20 years of experience and you're not like talking that up all the time? Like, I would hire that person over someone who literally just started. And because in her mind, she only started her online business recently. I'm like, you've been doing this for 20 years. Like, what are you saying? In some way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? I think it's because a lot of times when people like start their online business, they think that's day one. And they think everything else that happened before that is negated. And it's like, your lived experience literally brought you here. You have stuff that happened that made you who you are. That is a skill set. That's why you're so great at what you do. It's why I talk about my acting background and my cocktail waitressing. Oh my gosh, that was so much life lessons that helped me learn how to deal with people and relationship building and patience and all of these skills that now make me a better coach. And I know make me a better coach. It's someone who hasn't done that, who hasn't had a service job. I think everyone should have a service job.
You know, I was going to say, like, we're all in like that camp over there. Like, once you've done it, you get it.
You're like, oh my gosh. It's like, it was so hard, but also so rewarding in that way. I'm like, so glad I did it.
But you still have nightmares because I do all the time that I'm in the weeds and I can't stop and I'm like triple sat. And
you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I worked at a sports bar, which was owned by a bunch of New Yorkers in LA. So I kind of felt at home there because I was like, oh my gosh, I found my people. And I would be the only cocktail waitress on and the bar would be slammed. So I knew I'd make great money that night, but I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a night. But gosh, I learned so much from that job that I can bring to now. So I really think it's just, we think that we're starting from day one and everything else is gone. So just shift your mindset on that. This is your time to humble brag. And I think we also just, especially introverted people who want to stay behind the scenes, we think, I can't humble brag. That's bragging. That's not good. It's not good. It's great because people aren't going to hire someone who's not confident. They want to know what you're great at. They want to know that you're an expert. And it's not bragging. It's just the facts. Like, I'm really good at this thing because I had this many years of it, you know, or I've had to go through this experience. You know what I mean? So those are two main reasons that I see people kind of hold back from sharing that part of themselves.
Struggling to raise your rates because your client's content creation is taking you forever? Clients pay more for strategy, but you're here drowning in the writing and the doing. When do you have time to think like a strategist? The digital marketers who are getting ahead are the ones who are using AI as their marketing superpower. That's where AI Copywriter in a Box changes everything. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. I use it in my business and with my clients, and it's helped me create high converting content in minutes without getting stuck in endless revisions. When you deliver faster, with better quality, you become the premium service provider clients cannot live without. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, just for being a listener, and you can use the AI copywriter for up to 4 clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes.
What you just said was music to my ears and my listeners' ears because they are coming to the table with experience. You know, target audience is not 18 who's never had a job before. Yeah. We have something in the past that carries over. And I think that I loved what you said. This isn't day one. And that is always what I'm trying to point out to my students too. Like, wait, you have 20 years in, you know, fashion merchandising. What skills do we pull out? It's almost like we're prepping for a job interview here. You know, like you would turn that story into you in the interview. So like that's what we're doing, but in the online space and in a marketing way.
Yes, exactly. And we like forget about that. And that's your greatest asset. And we just overcomplicate it. Like not only is it your greatest asset, but it's so natural for you. So it's once you get over that hump of like, oh, I can't brag about myself or share these literal facts, it's going to be so easy. You're like, oh, wow, this was way easier than I thought it was. I was making it this huge thing. And I thought I had to be great at all these things. And I'll say even like now that I'm a mom, I'm like, there are skills in the last year and there'll be 16 months, 2 days. Oh my gosh. Or 16 months. I'll be 16 months postpartum, which how long do you say postpartum? I don't even know. I feel like I'm going to say it forever. They're going to be like, they're going to be 19. I'm going to be like 19 years postpartum. But I've learned so much in this last year and a half. I'm like, I have amassed so many skills in this last year and a half that make me a legit better business owner. You know, so even someone who maybe they're like, I didn't have a ton of work experience because I was a stay-at-home mom. Oh my gosh, the skills you have. My next VA will be, honestly, I want a mom of many children because they have to really be so organized in whatever way that means for them. They have to be able to compartmentalize. Like, there's just so many incredible skills that I have learned that I'm still amassing that other stay-at-home moms have. You know what I mean? So even if you're in that camp, like, your life has taught you skills that your freelance job needs, your service provider job needs.
Yeah, those soft skills when you are a multitasking mom. I had a student, Brittany, who had a work gap. And then I found out she was the president of her MOPS organization for 10 years. And I'm like, girl, like, you're set. You have the operational experience. Like, you're organized. You're doing project management. If you've managed a timeline and a budget and other people, you know, maybe not even a budget, or, you know, maybe it's like all pro bono stuff, but like, that counts. Like, you're ready to be an operations assistant. Nobody needs to anoint you. So
yeah,
it's like figuring out how to translate it into the online space and communicate it powerfully. And I know the shift with me, I came up with this whole unicorn thing, and I'm not a cocky person, but I kind of had to step into this power. Like, oh, you want somebody who writes and knows PR, who's actually available at an hourly rate? She's magical and she's right here in front of you. Like, good luck. Another one of me. And like, me just kind of having that aura and that sense of confidence. Like, I know what I bring to the table because I did PR before this. I know how to write. I know how to do press kits. Like, you're in good hands. This other stuff, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And that made me special and unique. And so that's really what the aura of the unicorn is like, how are you different from other people?
Yep.
And then you sprinkle a knowledge of online business and like, you're the one everyone's trying to capture because there's not enough of you. And so I'm glad that you and I speak the same spoke right now.
Yes, I love it. And it's just such an important message for everyone to hear. Like, it's, we think that we have to put on this sometimes, at least, but like my story said at the beginning, this persona, this version, it's like the second the camera comes on or if we're posting, we put this mask on, there's filter on, like literally and figuratively. Because we do think we have to be a certain way. And I think this, it's again getting better, but there was this like professional, quote unquote, look of I have to be professional. And like, what does that even mean? To me, professional means you show up on time, you know, stick to what you say you're going to do, you fulfill your client duties, and that's professional. It doesn't mean you look a certain way or you dress a certain way or you work in a certain way. Like, I don't care how you get it done, you just get it done. And so I think that like is definitely changing and people are embracing being themselves. And I'm like, what's the point of doing this if I can't do it half the time in my pajamas or at a coffee shop or like why am I doing this then, you know?
I mean, yeah, I'm like, most of my stories come from me in the car, like leaving the massage place. Like, I don't have makeup. I have like, you know, I don't have that many massages, but you get the point. Like, eventually you're like, this is just who I am and I'm not going to pretend like I'm some put together beauty.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about flipping too much to the other way? Too quirky. I think about like some of the strategic vulnerability out there. And I'm thinking of like the really like, I don't know, the fake crying pictures. Obviously, I don't mean all the way, but I do think about how unicorns show up professionally in us Facebook groups and other mixers. And sometimes I get that like, oh, like, you know, when you share your fun fact, like maybe not once, like, when is it too much? When is it too quirky? Or
let's keep that one behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I love this question. No one asks me this question. It's such a good one too. It's like, you've done this before, Emily, or something. No, this is,
I went to journalism school. I also self-deprecate.
I love it. That's my favorite combo though. Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed. So this is such a great question because I think especially like you said, with this like intentional vulnerability, but intentional just to get a reaction, you know, and people can tell. I'll say first, like, I'm definitely someone who shares. I share a lot of my life. I'm just kind of, that's part of my brand. And I don't share a lot of my life. You know, people think I share it all. I'm like, trust me, I don't. I don't behind the scenes that are going to be behind the scenes that I want to be behind the scenes. So I think that's the first step is like, vulnerability doesn't mean you're bearing it all and you're sharing every detail. To me, in fact, I usually, if I'm going to share something, it's after I've processed personally. Sometimes I'll share in the moment if I think it can be a very teachable moment and it's not like, I don't want to say damning. So I was just recording an episode for my podcast, a little tough love episode for my audience to like not give up so quickly and easily. And one of the things I was sharing was, you know, we've had all these really cool milestones. We've hit these really great milestones in business. And We've also, on the way there and even after, have been in the red. We've had months in the red. We've made really bad investments that set us back hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, and I didn't share that when it happened. I wasn't like, hey, had a negative income month this month in the red. Like, I didn't go and share that, right? That didn't feel like it would attract that that client that I want or that confidence.
Yeah.
But it still happened. Now, I shared it on the podcast today because this is, every business experiences this, I've found out from lots of people I've talked to. And it was a teaching lesson. And it went, hey, look, that happened. And look where we are now, right? And we've learned from it. And hey, it might happen again in the future, but it'll be very strategic and there will be a reason for it. And I won't make that same mistake again, hopefully. You know what I mean? Like, there was a learning lesson to it. So I don't think when you're thinking about sharing, it doesn't have to be everything all at once in the moment. Think like, how can I just process this on my own? And then if this is a teaching moment in the future, great. If it's not, they don't need to know, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like one way. And as far as the quirks, there's certain things that I always just look at, what are a lot of other people sharing or experiencing or like find funny or really relatable that they'll be like, oh my gosh, yes, me too. I love that person. For example, I love Harry Potter. It's just been a thing with me and my dad ever since I was little. And whenever, it's not that we go often, but when we've gone to Wizarding World, I have my wand, I'm going through, I'm, you know, being that weirdo, and I'll take videos and pictures. People are obsessed with it. They love it. They send me Harry Potter stuff constantly, every single week, because it's a phenomenon. A lot of people like it. It's a very common thing. It's just something that we can connect on and we can nerd out on, right? So that's quirky, but it's not like, oh, that's making me uncomfortable kind of quirk, you know? And yeah. I'm not saying y'all have maybe those things.
Yeah.
Those don't necessarily need to be aired. So what are those common things that you have, whether it's an interest or just a way of being? Self-deprecation, love that. A lot of people are like that secretly. And it's, I immediately feel bonded to someone who does that. You know what I mean? Like, think of those things that you know are super relatable that when someone else does it, you love it. You're like, oh my gosh, yes. So does that make sense? That's kind of like the bar I would give you.
Yeah. It's almost like a strategic quirky,
yeah.
Honestly, because you don't want to share like all of your, but then at the same time, I'm never say never. I'm already thinking of examples, but I was just thinking about like all of our worst fears and anxieties, but like there's a place to share like what you're going through or chronic illness and, mental health and, being, neurodiverse, like all of that can be very related.
Totally.
And I'm going to say pay off. That feels wrong, but it can pay off in the sense of you stand out and you are remembered.
Exactly. You know what just came to mind too is like I had a private podcast for a little bit and it was about becoming a mom and running this business and like just what the first year was honestly about and honestly like. And now I shared very, very vulnerably in that, but I made sure not to share like, oh my gosh, this life is crazy and all that in a way that would make someone go, can she handle more clients? Like, is she capped? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to put that vibe out because that's not true. I can. I have systems and all that jazz, right? And I have. And so I was really like careful to toe the line of, yes, life is chaotic. Yes, life is crazy. And we are managing it because we're running a business and a successful one. And this is why we can take more people on. So I think occasionally if we put out that energy of like, it's so crazy that, oh, they can't take people right now. That's what you don't want to do, obviously, if you're trying to get clients. So I just wanted to share that.
No, I'm glad you did because I find myself analyzing it. Like sometimes we have these work group happy hours where we don't record it. We just shoot the breeze. We talk about what's happening. And sometimes, and maybe it's my energy, we get a little complainy about like what's happening with clients. But it really is about boundaries and what do I do in this situation?
For sure.
There can be people who like are constantly showing up negative constantly. Yeah. And then you're like, wow, I might never refer her. And this happens in other groups too. You know, I was just thinking of the last mastermind, but like, we also don't want to be fake, but it is important that you speak up and share your win. But there is like a little bit of a dance. I'm not going to lie.
Totally. I've also seen, I think I've seen it more on Threads and I love Threads. I'm like came back around to it. I need to post on there more, but I've seen this like trend where people are like complaining about clients a lot.
I've seen that too.
And I'm like, I'm like, is this like a thing over here? And hey, I get it. We all have clients that are tough. No one is immune ever to this. No matter what stage you're at, it's going to happen. And like, I would never do that publicly. Like, and yeah. I've seen a couple people do it where I'm like, I know who they're talking about based on what they're saying. This is awkward. Like, what if that person sees it? And as someone who could hire that person, I'm terrified you're going to talk about me like that. So yeah. Probably not going to hire you. So it's just like an interesting trend that I see happening that I personally would not partake in. To each his own.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you pointed that out because I would be so scared to let somebody like that into my business. It's very vulnerable. No one's ever organized, by the way. No one's got it all perfectly together.
No.
And I would definitely be like, no. And I want to have somebody come in who's safe.
Yeah.
I just saw interesting.
To know, I was like, why is this trend happening? Like, I'm all for being honest and connecting, but like, I'm not going to hire you now because I'm so scared you're going to like share my dirty laundry. Like, we all have our shit. We all have our messiness behind the scenes. And it's like, there are certain things you can keep private. And when someone blasts it like that, it gets me like, okay. So that's the side that I would like stop on if I were you.
Yeah.
Listening.
Yeah. Oh my God. I had like so many past posts go through my head that I remember seeing, but I'm also paying attention to those. Like, because I want the tea, but it's like,
yeah, for sure. Like, it's a reality show. I mean, at the end of the day, that stuff gets comments. So are they geniuses in that way because their posts are going to go viral and they're going to get a ton of comments? Yes. But is it the virality in the comments that are going to actually convert to clients? I don't know.
My next question for you. It's like, how do we turn this into the actual payoff and the actual conversion? How do we know if our content's actually working or story's actually working?
Yeah. I had a couple clients recently, but one in particular who used this business origin story like framework. And from this one post, she got 9 inquiries and 3 high ticket clients right from this literally one post. And she'd been posting and sharing content and she wasn't new to Instagram by any means, but she was missing her story and her connection to her people. And I think, again, the process that we just laid out, but it was this blend of I'm relatable because I've been where you've been. So I'm not just this expert who's like had it all figured out, but also I am an expert. And again, that's where I think a lot of stories are missing. It's like, I did it, you can do it too. Or I've had a tough time, you can do it too. It's like, and I'm really great at what I do because of XYZ. So again, that humble brag, that really owning it, sharing people you've helped. And she did that. Like, she didn't just go, and I've done this too. She's like, and I've helped so-and-so and so-and-so, and I have this credential and this credential, and this is why. And she really, one thing that I'm working on with a lot of people and my own self is instead of saying like at the end, if you're ready, because they're never ready. Like, are we ever, you know what I mean? I'm like, stop saying that. If you're ready.
Oh, ChatGPT loves that, by the way. It's always putting that in my final CTA section.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You're like, no. It's funny. The couple of times that I've done that, I'm like, please don't say that anymore. Like, we're not saying it anymore. And it's not that it's wrong to say that, but no one's ever truly ready. And that could be the out that they needed is, oh, well, you know, I'm just not ready. But you're never ready. You're never fully ready. And so I've changed it a little bit more to like, if this struck a chord, if your heart, if you're like palms are sweaty or your heart is racing or you know this is what you need or if you're committed, right? And really painting that future vision. It's like calling them out and up at the same time, if that makes sense. I think that's like that activation that they really need and you kind of shift their perspective at that same time.
Yeah. And I love that with messaging and copy and, you know, not being like the bro marketers who are out there like shaming, but you're showing what could happen, the potential of what could happen in your future pacing. And
yes, exactly. Like you're giving them an out in a sense that you're like, I get it. I understand why you think that way for sure. And here's proof you don't have to. And that's where you share the client wins or you share someone who's well known that they would know. And you could say, look how they transformed. Look, they started here as well. So you're giving them that proof that it's possible while you're kind of shifting that perspective.
Okay. Well, I was on the podcast and I feel like I could have answered this question better. And there's no guarantee I will answer it well right now. But he asked, you know, how did your launches start doing so well? You know, because when I started, I was struggling. And then eventually I had some 6-figure launches. And I kind of had an answer for him where I started putting myself in the story of people's wins, like very casually and just kind of like staking claim in that. And I just like owning my experience a little bit more. And I really wasn't doing that before. I was thinking about the story you're sharing. Like, I did it and it worked for me. It almost wasn't cutting it anymore. I needed to show the proof, like, yes, and it's working for Laura, who was an engineer, and now she's a launch manager. And it's, you know, like I had to kind of,
yeah.
I'm sure there's a fancy word for that. But I think me just being like the relatable, I was once there, it didn't work either because business has changed. And yeah. when it started, things were different. You didn't need a website. It wasn't very competitive. I mean, this whole marketing assistant thing was kind of something new I carved out. And now a lot of people are using it. There's other marketing assistant coaches. And it's like, okay, now I need to like come with the receipts and myself in the story.
I love that you brought that up. It's duplicatable, right?
Yes.
It's like, it didn't just work for me. And that's where this client, she didn't just stop there. It's like, and I've helped over 100 women do this. You know, I've been around the block. And even if you're starting and you're newer, if you've helped someone for free, that counts. Like, don't discount that, right? And again, your 20 years experience, like everyone who's listening to this isn't just starting, right? So that all counts. And yeah, I love that you brought that up because I think there was a very big trend. And I definitely bought into this a little bit where using your results to market, and I still do that. Don't get me wrong. I'll still say, hey, this, look what I was able to do. Here's how you can do it. But here's how my clients did it too. Because if it just works for you, well, you're not them. They're not you. They don't have all these other things you already have. So how is it working for someone who's like five steps back, you know? And so I love that you brought that up. It's that duplicatable process that's so important.
I just have to hammer that home, but I think that's where marketing assistants can take everything to the next level and stand out. Because that's the hard part for us clients when we're like, oh, we're trying to like knock out all this copy. And if somebody just knew our business so well and our clients so well and could come help pepper in the success stories in like the right way or have the Notion database or, you know, the ChatGPT client brain of everything index, like that would be so helpful. Because that's where I struggle. It's like, how do I, okay, I got that out. How do I come back and add that extra spice back in?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's, I think it's very common, but I'm so glad you brought that up. It's so important. Otherwise, it's just going to sound like everyone else's, like you said.
Yeah. And like you haven't done it before. I think that's the problem a lot of the unicorns have is, you know, how do I bring that expertise to the table, show I've done it before, communicate it without saying it? Because you know, it might have been volunteer. It might have been like an exchange. It might be my first paying client. I think you can weave that into the story.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything we should cover when it comes to messaging? And I'm also dying to know what your business looks like now and what you got cooking.
Yeah. When it comes to messaging, again, I would say the personal brand angle, the human behind, especially for service providers, which I think is scary, you know, that is on the rise. That is what people are wanting. So even, I know this sounds kind of silly, but this isn't going to grow your accounts necessarily, but it will nurture the people who are there. I've been doing, and I've been encouraging my clients to do like day in the life dumps or just the weekend photo dump, you know, kind of stuff. And it's like subtly, but not so subtly sharing like, this is the life this business has brought me. Or if it's a health coach, this is the life repairing my relationship with food has brought me. You know, this is the life XYZ has brought me. And it's just, it's my favorite thing to do. It's so easy. I literally share pictures from the weekend or from what we're doing and what this life, you know, business has brought us, but in a very casual, like weekend dump. And I'm noticing when I was looking at my insights, those are getting way more clicks to the profile and clicks on my links than the call to actions on the posts that are telling you to go click on the link. And I'm not surprised, but I'm like, huh. Interesting. It's people who are more nurtured. Again, this isn't attraction content. It's not going to bring in the new people, but it's really to like, you're showing the human side of you that people want to connect with. So really bringing that back in, like you're not just this business robot talking to the problems and the pain points and the desires. You're also you, like bring you back in. So, and those are the easiest stuff to do because it's just like a photo dump of your weekend or like your day in the life or whatever. So
I think a carousel or a story or what does it look like?
It could be all of the above. What I've been doing is just a carousel. Though I've been doing a carousel post. I used to do it on just stories and I'm like, I want it to live on the feed a little bit. So I've been doing it as carousel posts and then sharing that. I am starting to do more day in the life vlogs. I'm recording one today, actually, like a couple clips and stuff like that. It's hard to do now with my boys. They want to knock over my tripod. I'm like, how am I going to continue to do this? Is this like possible with them this age?
My tripod just went missing for like a month. I have my daughter, number four. She might be an actress. She might be on Broadway. I don't know, but she loves to get that thing out. I think it's like hidden over there.
I love
it. I'm like, Winnie, where's my tripod? So I'm just like laughing at that. But yeah, I have never done those. I always mean to. They seem really hard, but then like my mom brain just kind of like forgets.
I forget constantly. And I used to do it for my other account a lot. And so I think that's why it's like a little more second nature, but it was when they were newborns. So they didn't go touch my phone. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do this anymore.
Yeah.
Those do well. And it's just because people love reality TV. They like behind the scenes. They like to see how you're doing stuff, you know? So even taking, like for messaging, taking people behind the scenes, showing how you work with a client, when something comes up and there's a struggle, how you help them work through that pain point or that struggle, not just speak to the pain point, but this is how we work through it. You know, people are much more apt to like, hey, I want to work with someone because I know how they're going to handle the tough times, you know, than just the great stuff.
Yeah. We want to know that person is balanced and not completely like business only. I'm not trying to knock type A people, but like sometimes we get that bad vibe, if that makes sense. And you're like, okay, there's some balance to you. You're somebody I might aspire to be. Like you're setting a good example. Because I know sometimes like I'm a black kettle. Sometimes I work too much. I'm not going to pretend like there aren't weekends where I don't, but okay, that was good advice. Yeah. Any marketing assistant could run with Instagram. So thank you. You have a freebie for us to help with the origin story as well. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's called the Business Story Blueprint, and it walks you through those five phases that I just laid out for you. I give you obviously a little description, but also an example so you can see one actually fleshed out. And then in the follow-up emails, I have two in particular, one that helps you put it into an actual email, and then one that's a bonus video tutorial that walks you through how to make a storytelling reel. So you take your origin story and you actually put it into a reel with pictures, videos, audio. It's literally me on my phone showing you how I'm doing it, like step by step by step. So that's like a really valuable one. That's going to be, I think it's in like email three or so that you'll get in the follow up. Yeah.
You know, I have a friend, Mariana Hettinger. Do you know her? She teaches the brand voice videos. She does like the 20K, 30K brand story videos.
Okay. No.
That might not even be the name of it either, but brand video. But I'm just thinking like, oh, that'd be so great to have that style, the cinematography style.
Yeah.
So not wearing that in business right now. And so to be able to go do that and be smart about it is genius. Again, something we could help our clients do.
Exactly. And the way I teach it is so simple. It's like not fancy editing at all because I don't have time for that either. So it's like,
and we're almost turned off when it's too produced.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a whole for like sure. mistrust that happens with that. So
yeah, for sure. Okay.
Thank you for that. By the way, always one of my favorite websites that like I've always
thank
loved.
Thank you. We're going to rebrand now. So I'm excited for you to see the new ones.
Is it going
to
be on Show It too?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Staying on Show It. Yeah.
And then tell us how, if we have clients or we need your help, what is it like to work with you?
Yeah. So I have a program called The Distinctive Edge. That's my main thing. That's what I help people with. A lot of what we talked about today is essentially like taking you and putting it back in the business in a way that's marketable and buyable and sellable. And so that I have a group program that runs every few months. And that is something that I do group and a little bit of one-on-one if there's a VIP option, but it's very hands-on. There's a set curriculum. And then I also do one-on-one coaching. So those are like the two mainstays right now. I've like very much simplified and narrowed down to that right now in my business.
Okay. I love that. And it sounds like the people coming out of your program, your students would be dream clients because they got their shiz together.
Yeah.
They know what to talk about.
They're not skipping the hard part, which is the you part. And they're not just going right to content because that's why it doesn't work if you just go right to content. So the first part is all about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I know that I've had a couple of unicorns tell me like they get clients who just want to copy other people. And it's just, it makes our life so hard. So this is so refreshing.
Yeah.
Anyone with a client like that, just share this episode, share what Meg's doing. I'm sure you'll have more launch events and webinars that can help as well. So thank you so much, awesome. Meg. Where's the favorite place to hang out? Or can we keep it going?
I would say, well, since you're listening to a podcast, you can go to The Pretty Awkward Entrepreneur. We are changing the name of it. So I know we're rebranding everything.
Oh my gosh.
for now. It's going to be the same like place. I'm just going to switch it all out. And Instagram at Megan Yelaney. And then the business story blueprint is just meganyelaney.com/business-story-blueprint.
Okay. So search your name everywhere. It stands out. It's unique. Easy enough. Yeah. Right, thanks so much. This was so fun.
Thank you.
Wasn't that so good? I hope you're walking away feeling like I can do this. I can be seen. I'm ready to be seen. I know what to say. Meg just gave you the exact framework. Start with this business story and build it up. This is going to give you the credibility, the connection, and the clients landing in your lap. And make sure you grab her business story blueprint. Again, that's in the show notes. Check out her podcast, which she says she's going to be renaming. If this story hits home, please share it with a fellow freelance marketer who needs to hear it, especially when you know they're the best kept secret and really good at what they do. The more we can help each other step into the spotlight, the more we all rise. And that's the whole purpose of our Digital Marketers Workgroup. If you are doing this work, if you are doing the marketing funnels, if you are creating the marketing systems, if you're doing the content, the strategy, the launching, then you need to be in the workgroup. Here's the thing. Yes, we share job leads, but we have a brand new freelancer directory that is getting our members' clients falling in their lap and finding them through the power of SEO and through the power of the network I've created. One of our unicorns, Angela, just told me she booked a client through the directory who thought she just needed hourly help and ended up booking an $1,800 package. So if you're the expert and you know how to show up online, those clients are willing to pay you more. We have two more golden episodes in this visibility series, one to help you with your brand voice and one to help you with your podcast pitching for yourself. I'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more, or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
Oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
This is a podcast episode and we're talking about vulnerability and
Oh my God,
this is so relatable.
I was like, wait, it's right there. It was good too.
You ever, when you're thinking and you're speaking and you do like leave your body and then
yes.
little forks of like, oh, I could tie it back to that and I could tie
I feel like that just happened. I'm like,
and then suddenly you're like, oh, now
I'm in. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Okay, what was I just talking about?